Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Hurricane Hotline on FM 1043 WQAM. An in-depth look at the Miami Hurricanes. Presented by Williamson Cadillac.
Williamson Cadillac. Experience the South Florida lifestyle in a new Cadillac. From Miami's luxury dealership, Williamson Cadillac. Williamson is Miami.
All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the show. We've got a pretty cool show lined up for you tonight. Joe Zagacki, Trevor Harris is our producer. We're going to have a reaction on the Hurricanes' win against the Florida Gators from all the guys that are the personalities on our flagship station, WQAM. So we'll hear from the Joe Rose Show. We'll hear from the Tobin and Leroy Show. And we'll hear from the Hawk Crowder and Solana Show, all coming up here during our show. And I thought it'd be fun to hear what they have to say about the second-ranked Miami Hurricanes. What a great night on Saturday at Hard Rock Stadium. The Asylum was alive and kicking, coming off its hinges despite the rain. I felt bad for all the people that wait all year long, all the fans wait all year long to tailgate. And they tailgate through the rain. I had a hell of a time out there. Hopefully for the next home game, Louisville, maybe by that time, we will be out of, we'll still be in the storm season, but it's been raining for 6 weeks. Maybe it'll slow down. I don't know, but it did not deter the fans. They had a great time. They played the role of the 12th man. It was an excellent night. And of course, Miami beating Florida makes it even more special. And this is the way it sounded on Saturday night on QAM.
Hurricane to the Gators for the 58th time. We're expecting suspense from beginning to end at Hard Rock Stadium. And away we go. Davis sends it high, end over end. Brown looks up, fielded at the goal line, brings it out. Right side, 10, 15, center step. Hit once, hit twice, brought down short of the 20-yard line. Lagway in the shotgun off the right hash mark. Wilson goes left with Brown. Sturdivant short side right. Watch the quarterback run. He needs 14 yards. Lagway to throw. He's in front, under pressure. Running left side. Running, running. Looking, and he's dragged down from behind. It's Marquise Lightfoot that got him. Three plays. All three plays account for a loss.
Backs for Carson Beck. He sends Brown in motion. He gets it out to him left side. Gets the block from Tony at the 30. Dribble side of attack on the 20. 15, 10, 5. Marty Brown.
Get it, baby.
Into the end zone. Touchdown. Touchdown. 28 yards to Marty Brown. There's an eruption of Miami joy all around Hard Rock Stadium. Marty Brown's moment in the spotlight.
The University of Florida, I want to welcome you to Canesville. Miami marches the field and puts points on the board. The receivers do a phenomenal job blocking downfield.
He stepped out there to mark him back, take it all back. Not his moment of in the spotlight. There was an eruption of joy. They say he stepped out of the five. Goes first and goal from the five. Hurricanes go with their jumbo package. Beck goes under center. He turns. He gives. Left side. Hurricanes pushing the pile. At the one. And touchdown! Touchdown, Miami! Marty Brown scores from 2 yards out. And for the second time, there's an eruption of joy all around Hard Rock Stadium.
Once again, Gator fan, welcome to Canesville.
Third and three. Armando Blunt in with Mezidor and Bain. Lagway in the shotgun. Here comes Bain and Mezidor. And they've got him. They hit him from the side and sack him.
like a rocket on rails. It's Thomas who sacks him for a loss of 7 yards, and the Gators have to give it up again.
Beck to throw, left flat mouth has got it to 15.
Hurdles a man at the 10, down to the 5-yard line. What an effort by Lofton.
Fourth and one, big moment of the game right here. 13-0 Miami, 11:15 to go, third quarter. Jumbo package in across the board for Miami. Beck and Brown in the backfield. Handoff goes to Brown. He's hit once, hit twice. He lunges for breaks.
Breaking it.
Here we go. Brown's off to the races. He's at the 15. He's at the 10. He's at the 5. And Marty Brown goes 47 yards for a touchdown. But hold everything. I think they're going to say it was stopped.
Ruling on the field was the board progress was stopped.
They're going to say he was stopped. That his forward progress was stopped. He got the first down by a hair's breadth. Second down and 6 at the Miami 36. Lagway steps into the shotgun. Miami 13, Florida 7. If Lagway takes a shot, he's back to throw. He's looking. He's looking. He's going to be.
Tackle, baby.
They've got him once, twice. They bring him down. Back toward midfield. Bain and Torre. It's Marty Brown in the backfield. Beck under center. Everybody is tight. Third down and goal from the 1-yard line. Snap, turn, give, Brown leaps.
Touchdown!
Down. Touchdown! Touchdown, Miami! It's a Marty party in the end zone. It's a Hurricanes party in the end zone. One moment of magic for Marty Brown. And Miami leads it 19-7.
Lagway to throw. Miami brings some pressure.
There,
he stepped up in the pocket. They got him. Down he goes. Another sack for Miami. Torre's in there. So is Mesidor from the 1-yard line. Hand off to Fletcher. Into the end zone. He dives in for a touchdown. Touchdown, Miami. And the curtains come down on the show. The Hurricanes are going to beat the Gators. There's Hurricanes delight around Hard Rock Stadium and glee and joy and jubilation. Miami 25 and Florida 7. We're down to 15 seconds to play at Hard Rock Stadium. One final snap for Carson Beck. Beck takes the snap, takes a right knee, holds the football. Hurricane fans, you can savor and rejoice. It's a moment and a victory that will live in your hearts forever. Miami has defeated the Florida Gators. Miami 26, Florida 7. That's your final score. There's ecstasy for Miami and agony for the Florida Gators.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, it can live in your hearts forever because they might not play again. Forever is a long time, but there are no other games scheduled, which to me is ridiculous. Miami and Florida should play every year. It was a great spectacle, lots of passion, lots of glitter. It was just, I thought, an incredible night, and they should play all the time. I understand SEC has 9 conference games. Well, guess what? So does the ACC now. Those are the games that everybody wants to see. Wonder what the evidence is? The game got a rating of over 6 million people watching it. Like 6.4 million people watched the game. I think it was the highest rated game of the season. So ESPN, yes, thank you. You're welcome, ESPN. Hurricanes did it again for you. 6.3, 6.5 million viewers. It peaked out, I believe it peaked out at 7.4 million. Should Miami and Florida play all the time? No, let's not have 7 million people watch Miami and Florida play. Yes, they should play all the time. Shame on the Gators. Meanwhile, our Reaction Tuesday from your flagship station. It begins with the Joe Rose Show.
All I know is Miami has a really, really good team across the board. Matter of fact, the only guy that probably didn't play well in that Canes Florida game was a quarterback.
Yep.
He was the only one. And they looked like they confused him a little bit when he threw it, but it wasn't.
He had a lot of time back there, too.
Boy, when they went with a four-man rush and they dropped everybody into coverage.
No pressure.
There was no pressure. They were getting blocked. And
you realize every game this season, though, they have worn down their opponents with the run.
Well, that's a Mario.
The
thing.
Gators were like, they were worn down, man. Well, and again, I think that defense is really good, but
they didn't have the depth on that D line. No. They had a bunch of guys out, so the front line guys were out, good. Yeah. But, yeah, they pounded him. He went right back after they got a couple stops. He said, all right, enough's enough.
Notre Dame started to fade at the end.
They did.
USF started fading in the second quarter.
So anyway, but he's got his formula stuff, and yet he still got some really, really good group of receivers. But they're like, hey, we're going to run the ball, and they just run at you. They're just going to run at you. And try to set you up in second and, you know, five, second and four, second and three, and then, you know, keep pounding if they can. If not, they'll throw some passes in there. But they got a real good group of receivers. I don't know if they're having trouble getting open or any of the things in in that game. But I got to tell you, on the other side of the ball, starting with those two defensive ends, do you see their grades, by the way, ranked like top?
Football Focus.
Yeah. My God, that's I don't know how
those
much people
guys are rocketing up the draft
people
boards, huh?
Like that, but Mezador on one side and Reuben Bain is just playing out of his mind. He made a play. This is the second time he's done this. He gets the quarterback, and they drop it off, and he turns and chases. He went out, remember, in the screen outside, and the ball went up in the air, and he intercepted it, and then. You know, he goes out and makes a tackle again, and it was a good catch right at the end by Herbstreit. Oh, my God, watch this. Guy just gets the quarterback and turns, and it's like a drill you work in practice, and you chase the guy. And it's not just those two. Two linebackers are playing great. Can't say enough about those guys. Secondary. By the way, did we even talk about the Gator wide receivers? That was a weird one. Did they even?
Well, because the guy had like 20 yards passing the first half.
He threw to the tight end out in the flats. Yeah. He couldn't connect with him. He was throwing it, spraying it all over the place on outlet to the tight end on the flats. But I don't remember him getting a chance to.
No.
Throw the ball to
not,
them.
Not really.
And he.
That game got very dicey at the end, though, man. It, you know, 13-7, they had the ball, but that you said this earlier, that catch that Marty Brown had on that screen pass, that crazy spinning catch that he had. He doesn't make that play. You're in a world of trouble.
Well, you're in 3rd and 6 again.
You're in a world of trouble. He doesn't make that play. That was like a game changing play in a big way.
So he makes that catch, runs, you know, 16 yards for the play, yeah. And then they got it rolling, and you could see. And by the way, the two backs, what a nice 1-2 punch.
Mm-hmm.
You want to talk about a guy in the transfer portal that I wasn't really counting on much is Brown. I mean, he was supposed to be the third back.
Yeah, he's been incredible.
And, you know, Lyle has been injured, and now, but Brown's not going to give that. I kind of sense. Yeah. Mario's like, hey, man, this is no time to be crying about your playing time now. We're off and running, man, getting ready for FSU.
Well, those two guys really fit, I think, what Mario's trying to do, though, right? That bruising downhill stuff.
Those two? Oh, yeah. My God. Just really compliment each other and their style. By the way, Fletcher has just become – what a great power back. We've had some great running backs, and I'm not getting into the other. We've had some 220-pound running backs really good here without going to the whole list of how good. But this kid runs hard, man. This 220 pounds, 225 pounds he carries, he is he's going through there, and he's dishing it out, man. Yeah, so 249 yards between Fletcher and Brown, and then Brown has four catches for 53 yards, including what we're talking about. Probably got screwed on one in the pile. I think they thought they had their arms around him, and then they go back and look at it, and they're going,
It's really remarkable how one bad call can change an entire game.
But once they blow that whistle, you can't change.
I suppose.
And you can hear those whistles.
I didn't hear. I mean, it was so loud in there, you couldn't hear anything. But
I could hear them on TV.
There's a lot of cheering going on at that moment on that play, so we did not hear whistles.
But... Well, everybody. No, you're right, because he took off and ran, and people were thinking bonkers. He came out.
That was the game right there. They go up 20-0, ball game.
Game was over in the fourth quarter anyway, man.
I know.
Sorry. 13-7 and 13-7 in the fourth.
Got a little scary there.
All right. Hey, listen, by the way, things are going to go against you in the game. And that was the first time they've really had something go against them this season. And they responded. All right, 13-7. Okay. Now we can't get anything going in third quarter offensively. And the defense just said, we got this. We got it. All right, we gave up the one drive. We got it. Stop them. 4th-and-3, 3rd-and-1. Shoot the gap. Get them for a loss on that play. They were backed up. They couldn't go for it because they were still terrible field position. So they were forced to punt. But
do you realize on the flip side, the Gators may not win a game the rest of the way? Have you seen their schedule?
I have.
They get a week off. And they
heard that.
Texas A&M, Mississippi State, Georgia, Kentucky, Ole Miss, Tennessee, and FSU. So they're going to play in this stretch here. Number 3, number 4, number 10, and number 9. Then you get Mississippi State. Then you get number 5. Then you get Kentucky, and then you get 13, 15, and 8. Those are all the rankings of these teams.
Oh.
You look at this preseason, it would have been
tell you, if he loses
remarkable most, if they went 500.
If he loses most of those games.
What do you mean if?
They will get rid of him.
It's really unfair. It's kind of a tough break, but
they go. They go 3-9 or 4-8. All of a sudden, you're going to hear some Bull Gator talk. And it won't be a bunch of bull. It'll be real. A lot of money up there, man.
Yeah.
A lot of money. By the way, did anybody catch President Joe, man? A lot of great things being said about.
I saw that.
Huh? See McAfee stuff on.
Yeah.
Called him suit. Then he sat down. He goes, oh, we'd like to introduce you to our president of the university. And he goes, my bad. I'm sorry. And he goes, hey, man, if you decide you want to be really good in football, it starts with a guy like that. The president of this university, for all of you that have done political ads against presidents at the university, for all of you that have, we've had presidents take off because the job and everything else, and you felt like they weren't committed to sports.
Too much academics.
Too much academics and worried about the medical facilities and all that. You got a guy that sees the importance for the brand of the University of Miami and thinks it all ties together from the medical field to the academics. He thinks having a really good football team and a really good basketball team is really important. Oh, let me add baseball into that too. He thinks those things are important. And we're lucky to have that guy. We are lucky. By the way, you notice Mario, first thing, hey, what has happened here? Go starts with my president. That guy recruits. That guy helps players out when they need help with money, and not helping them with the money, but what to do with money and how to do it. And you got to pay, and you know, everybody's getting paid. He is, he's a total package. He is, for years, we bitched around here. We have made a commitment. Go, okay, what do we have to do? We got to get a coaching staff. We got to pay him. We got to have a recruiting budget. We got to have better facilities.
Look at the difference, though, man.
That's what I mean.
If they were a 500 team, they wouldn't have had game day down here. And this matchup with FSU wouldn't, I assume that's going to be.
That's got to be a game day.
I would think.
First of all, the numbers they get from a UM game to start with, of course they're going to get it.
Yeah.
They got to get it. Now, I don't know what else is being played saying that.
That doesn't matter, does
it? I mean, if Penn State's playing Ohio State or something like that, I don't.
Does it even matter?
Well, I'm saying if it's one or the other, or Oregon jumps in there and they're playing Penn State or Ohio State, then. But outside of that, I don't know if there's an SEC matchup they'd rather have than Florida State, Miami.
Okay, Joe Rose in Hollywood, the Joe Rose Show, their reaction to the Hurricanes' victory over Florida. Miami ranked second in the country, have not trailed for 1 minute this season. Carson Beck struggles against Florida. I think perhaps were a little bit to do with Florida. Last year, you know, they intercepted him three times. He was 25 for 40 in the game last year. So at about, 62%. This game, 17 for 30. I think when Carson Beck talked about their defensive coordinator, Ron Roberts, maybe he won that psychological warfare against Beck. Maybe Carson wasn't as aggressive or decisive as he needed to be against Florida. So we'll tip our cap to the Gators secondary, perhaps, in this one just a little bit. There were some drops and some missed throws. No doubt about that. I think Beck's going to play very well for Miami the rest of the year. Although, I think he's going to play very well the rest of the year. There is no although. The although would be this. In the spring, I said, who will be the centerpiece of the Hurricanes offense? Carson Beck or Mark Fletcher? Kind of like Saquon Barkley and Jalen Hurts in Philadelphia. And now, the last 2 weeks, that thing is drifting a little bit toward Mark Fletcher. Back-to-back 100-yard games, 120, then 116. And Fletch keeps running and putting numbers up like he is doing. I would say that's a very favorable circumstance for the University of Miami. When we come back, we'll hear from Tobin and Leroy, and we'll get their thoughts on the Hurricanes' victory over the Florida Gators and where Miami is after the first 4 weeks. You know who's really happy? Ed Williamson, Williamson Cadillac. You want to be happy? You want to get the most out of the South Florida lifestyle in a new Cadillac from Williamson Cadillac? Well, let me tell you this. New models are arriving daily at Williamson. This means that Williamson Cadillac is absolutely going to have the new vehicle you are looking for. The CT4, CT5, XT5, XT6, the all-new, all-electric Lyriq. Yes, sir, at Williamson Cadillac. You want to get the most out of the South Florida lifestyle in a new Cadillac? Well, visit your luxury dealership, easy to find, located on US 1, just south of the Palmetto. And of course, if you want a great experience, you want to know about the best customer service, nobody does it better than Ed Williamson and his lovely wife, Carol. See Jermaine. He'll get you set up in either the CT4, the CT5, XT4, that's what I'm driving, XT5, XT6, or the new all-electric Lyriq. It is all at Williamson Cadillac. Easy to find. Once again, located on US 1, just south of the Palmetto. Williamson Cadillac, Williamson is Miami.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hurricane Hotline continues on FM 104.3 WQAM. Presented by Williamson Cadillac. Williamson is Miami.
Hurricanes in Florida State on October the 4th, 7:30 kickoff. Our broadcast will start at 3 p.m. on October 4th. ACC has decided they're going to go to a 9-game conference schedule. It will be fully implemented in 2027. I don't think I understand this. 16 teams will play 9 league games. One team will play 8 conference games plus 2 P4 non-conference games. Wouldn't the simple solution be just expand to one more team? Like UConn. I mean, it doesn't really matter anymore, right? What part of the country you're in. But I select UConn, not because I have any allegiance to UConn. I don't even know if they're any good in football. Jim Moore coaches them, right? I think they're pretty lousy. But they're really good in basketball. So it'd make the ACC even more entertaining in basketball. So just go get UConn, and then we wouldn't have to have 16 teams play 9 games and then one team play 8 games because everybody's going to get confused. This conference sometimes drives me batty. At any rate, every day on QAM from 10 to 2, you hear Tobin and Leroy, their unique version of sports. And Tobin and Leroy had this reaction to the Hurricanes win.
Man, it got a little dicey. There was like a 4-minute window where it was dicey, but they throttled them physically for most part that game. Not a pristine Cam Carson Beck game, but this team's got other pitches now. They will maul your ass, and that is basically what happened. They ran that team over.
We need to get over what we think a good football game is, okay? You know who's experiencing this right now? Jalen Hurts. Your quarterback doesn't have to throw for 300 every game. And he did look a little shaky early on. But here's what I would say. This was what I like to call a Mario Cristobal game.
Doof.
Because
Doof.
They ran the ball early and didn't look that good, but you could tell it was coming. And then 2-yard gains became 8-yard gains. And then they dominated the line of scrimmage in the second half and into the fourth quarter to where it didn't even look close, right? And sometimes you got to win rock fights. Sometimes you got to win rock fights.
Especially in sloppy weather. I mean, it wasn't the greatest weather in the world.
Vlad, I get upset when, you know, you can only win the game that's played. And a lot of times people get caught up in the points or how the game looked. Some football games are ugly, and you got to win. If you win them, that means that you're a good football team. I don't care how bad it looks.
I always say, I'll take an ugly win than a pretty loss.
Right. Exactly.
I'll take an ugly win over one of those, what you call those losses, those, they try to say those good losses.
Moral victories.
Those moral victories. I'll take a good win over a moral victory any day of the week.
Right. And so from that standpoint, you saw what them big boys did up front in the third and fourth quarter after they wore them down. I mean, pushing the running backs, the pile moving 7, 8, 9 yards.
It's 5 that bulldozers means, up there. It's crazy.
Right, exactly.
But I mean, listen, it was like, look, let's not pretend though. It wasn't squeaky cheeks there for a second, because no matter what, it is a rivalry game. And when you are up only 6 and then you come back and your quarterback throws a pick the first play, you're like, oh, you're going to need something there. But I think the good thing is, like, last year, you lose that game. And that's even if you have, maybe like you would say, oh, Cam Ward, that would never happen. Say it did. If you were in a position where you needed the defense to come up with clutch stops because the game was getting a little bit hairy, no shot it happens last year. And this team, huge tackling, short of the sticks. They kept, I mean, that team was 0 for 13 on third down. Like, they kept
which that in itself is just crazy. Sometimes you accidentally get a first down.
Right. And so
in a good play.
But they, let me tell you something about this Heatherman. He dials it up. He knows how to do it.
Yeah, but
you see that chin? Leroy? That beard? Oh, what a guy. What a coach. Guy's so much better than Lance Guidry.
One of the things that, well, he's got better players too.
Not all of them, though. He a lot. Yeah. I mean, like, if you're talking about, like, this season from this season from Reuben Bain is like.
Well, yeah, he was hurt last year.
I know.
They got better players. They got better players for whatever reason.
He's a better coach.
Now, I'm not taking that. I'm not taking anything away from the job that he's doing.
Kind of feels like you are.
Okay.
Though.
But the difference between this season and last season, or the way these games have been played, is now when you get into that third and fourth quarter and you're controlling the football offensively, you know your defense is going to make a play. When you thought last year, if the game was close, our defense can't stop anybody, right?
They couldn't.
So that is probably the biggest difference, that when the game is close or the game is within a score going into the third and fourth quarter, that defense almost ramps it up a little bit. Reuben Bain is all over the field. They're making big stops.
Him and Mezidor are two sharks.
Turnovers.
I mean, like, I said, him and Mezidor are two sharks. Like, just coming after. And I mean, poor Lagway had no shot there. And that when they smelt blood to go finish that thing, it was roasty toasty, dude. It was over.
But that game, like, you looking at the score and say, oh, they were within a touch. No, they weren't. Now it's your past. Your past feelings of how the Canes have responded in recent years in those situations. But, like, you just making an assumption that Florida could go down and score? Like, at no point that I think, yeah, they got a touchdown, right? Great. They got a touchdown. But watching that offense and watching the way the defense was playing against them, I never thought that they would score more than 10 points.
Yeah, like, well, they didn't.
It looked bad. That offense looked bad, or the defense looked really good, but they dominated them up front. So that game kind of went. Keep in mind, Florida does not get really blown out. As bad as they have been in some of these clutch moments, the games have always been relatively close.
Yeah, even the game with five interceptions.
Right. So to think that the Canes were going to blow them out, they have enough talent to keep it close. They don't have enough talent to finish the job.
No, I understand, but like there was still a 4-minute window. Like, I don't care what you say, and I'm agreeing with everything you're saying, but also every Canes fan is squeaky cheeks as soon as because it's coming off of their first touchdown drive. Football can flip on momentum, like it can.
I'm familiar.
Yeah. So like that, there was a window, but like there was a point once you got to the situation of, you know, you just needed a field goal to basically ice it away, and they're just like, nah, dude, we're going full steamroll ahead, and that was impressive. And this, I mean, Marty Brown, that catch, oh. That was very impressive too, because even Beck had the squeaky cheeks on that throw, and his running back bailed him out.
You know who else had squeaky cheeks? Whoever took the 7.5.
Oh, dude. You're not kidding. You're not kidding. But this was Reuben Bain on Instagram afterwards. He just puts a picture of Heatherman, who I don't think I've ever seen him smile. I've never seen him smile. I've never seen joy of this man.
Could be.
What's crazy is that most DCs and offensive coordinators and offensive line coaches, they're big. He's a little guy.
He just is like,
yeah, I wouldn't step to him though. I'm not.
No, that's what I'm saying.
He's got an angry beard.
No, he looks like
he got
a peaky blinder.
He got that look of crazy.
He's got an angry beard.
He looks like he looks like he's Sam Bennett's cousin. Like he's just got this look about him. But I just find the dichotomy of the coordinator so different, because I look at Dawson, and he always just looks relaxed. He's got, like, you know, he's just dialing up fun plays, and he's like, oh yeah, you know, like, let's just maul here. But not Heatherman. Heatherman is just sitting there stone faced the entire time, you know.
Well, I promise you this: this is how it goes. The offensive coordinators are usually the most laid back, because they don't want anybody to get too worked up, because you got to make adjustments and stuff like that. The defensive coordinator is intense, because defense plays with enthusiasm, with energy, and that usually shows through the defensive coordinator. The other position is offensive line coach. I only met one offensive line coach that was calm my entire life. and that is he's now the head coach at Iowa.
Ferentz? Ferentz?
Ferentz, yeah, Kirk. Very calm, mellow, talk to you or whatever. Every other offensive line coach was a little bit crazy, right? So there's just certain, like, you very rarely see an intense defensive back coach, right? Like, it's just certain positions. Linebacker coach, intense. So it's that energy that they have to play with that's reflected, you know, through their coach.
All right. Thank you very much, Tobin and Leroy, and Vladimir in there as well. No last name, just Vladimir. We have a vote for West Virginia. I said ACC should expand, bring in UConn. We do have a vote for West Virginia. Then we would have the old Big East, basically, right? Miami, Boston College, Syracuse, Virginia Tech. We'd have a combination of the Big East, ACC, and a little bit of the Pac-12. So why not? The argument is, oh, they don't add up academically. Really? we're gonna go down that path now? It doesn't really matter anymore. All right, when we come back, the final reaction on our flagship station comes from Hawk, Crowder, and Solana, and that is coming up next.
Time for more Hurricane Hotline on FM 104.3 WQAM. Presented by Williamson Cadillac. Williamson is Miami.
Okay, back on the show. Thanks to Tobin and Leroy, as well as the Joe Rose Show. And up next, our afternoon show from 2 until 6, Hawk, Crowder, and Solana. And big celebration for two out of the three, I believe. Here is the reaction from our afternoon show.
I don't want to be the Gator that has, you know, moral victories. I'm not going to lie to you. The Canes are better than the Gators. I knew going into the game, we knew what was going to happen. I bet the Canes. Hell, you could run the ball on the Canes, and if the Gators had any damn sense, they would just ran the ball over and over and over again, because this damn DJ Lagway, I don't know if he can see. I don't know if he knows where receivers are. But I think the Canes, when they have better opponents, they're going to have to stop that run.
I mean, obviously, there were some warning signs. I don't think Carson Beck is going to play that poorly most games. But you did watch it. And by the way, Canes had a touchdown taken away. I mean, they had a touchdown. They would have had a bigger lead. They would have been playing with a bigger lead. You got those crooked SEC refs. That's fine. I mean, they try to do whatever they can to help you guys out. Totally understand. I mean, you're trying to do anything you can. Totally understand. You watched it. I mean, I did at least, and say, you know what? That might not cut it at Doak Campbell in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
But I don't think that game was representative of who Carson Beck is as a quarterback either. I thought that was probably his worst game as a Cane, right? I mean, there's only been four, but that was his worst one.
Not impressive at all. But 10 out of 10 times, y'all would beat the Gators. I'm not saying anything like there. The Gators had a chance, but they showed the cheat code to beat the Canes, which is to run the ball and to affect Carson Beck. Right, like it's almost Tom Brady. Like Beck's not running around. You have to, if you get pressure in his face, he'll nut up a little bit. But it's, yeah, they'd beat. If we played for the next 6 months, y'all would beat us every time.
Well, sounds like you are taking some sort of little moral victory lap, but that's all right.
No.
Whatever gets you through.
You know what? Day. I'm coming from the angle of I'm pissed at Billy Napier for not just running the ball over and over again. He kept getting cutesy. I thought about you, Hawk. Don't get cutesy. Run.
Sometimes you got to get cutesy.
4 times 3 = 12, and that's a first down. We could go get 3-4 yards every play. Hawk, it's the football you don't want to watch. I was sitting there in the box saying, just run the ball over and over and over and over again. Take this ball out of DJ Lagway's hand.
Very possible that the Saturday matchup against FSU is a College Game Day matchup. If FSU handles their bit, do they play Friday night this week or Saturday?
Yeah, Friday night on the road at UVA.
They beat UVA on Friday night. You're going to have Miami and FSU two top five teams battling in prime time a week from this Saturday, and I would pretty much guarantee you College Game Day will be up in Tallahassee for that one.
I hate it a little bit, so I'm sorry. The U is back.
They're back.
Whoa. For
the U is back.
They're back.
What happened? Man, that damn College Game Day, that pool right next to the dorms, right next to that little courtyard with the lake in
there. They recruited me.
Driving boats around. I'm watching Game Day, hating but loving it, but hating a little bit. That's impressive. And the football team can play football. Like that's the U being back is exactly what you saw on Saturday Game Day.
But they're back or they're back. It's a difference. You can be back. College Game Day's fun. McAfee's in a Speedo. That's back. Football wise, are they back? Because Hawk, I think they are. Crowder talking about the recipe to success. The Gators ran the ball for 80 yards. Like, that was nothing. I think they're back.
Choked their ass out for three quarters. But no, I went the games way.
And a touchdown taken away. They literally had a touchdown taken away. Like people are glossing over that. Like, they're playing with a much bigger lead, and you're not even caring that they seem to have stalled, because they seem to have stalled except for the fact that they actually had scored another touchdown that got robbed by the SEC refs.
Well, you know, you can't hold everybody like this. That's what holding is called.
Hold everybody. The guy never even got that. No one touched him. Guy said, oh, there's a whole bunch of people over here. I'll go run over there. In right in the end zone.
The Mario Cristobal, the setup, the way they look, the size of them. And then, let's be honest, you bring in Cam Ward, then you bring in Carson Beck. They're going to have to continue to grab these top Heisman Trophy candidate quarterbacks. But the ancillary pieces that Mario Cristobal's put together, they look the part like hell. Like, you see him standing on the field next to other teams, and you're like, okay. Because that was my first live game this season. Just watching him come out the tunnel, I was like, ooh, these are some large human beings that are running out with the Canes jerseys on. So if Mario keeps recruiting and you keep bringing in veteran quarterbacks, I think they can be back.
The best stat from that Canes win was that Florida was 0-13 on third down conversions. Now, clearly, I don't know too much about football because I don't know the difference between fourth and third down, ladies and gentlemen. But I know this. If you're 0-13 on converting third downs, whether it's in the CFL or the NFL, that can't be good.
Not one conversion. I think we had 43 yards at halftime total offense. It was a butt kicking.
Going to play the DBJ call here in 1 second. I did want to read a couple things to you from Jordan McPherson in the Miami Herald. He wrote some important numbers from the Canes victory over the Gators on Saturday night. So Lana mentioned this earlier, Crowder, the number zero. The Hurricanes did not allow the Gators to convert a single third down attempt, with UF going 0-13 on third down. According to the Associated Press, it's the first time since 2022 that a Football Bowl subdivision team had at least 13 third down attempts and failed to convert any of them. Miami is now allowing opponents to convert on third down just 24% of the time. That's a great stat.
That is. It was impressive. No, impressive defensive performance. And so, Solana, because I'm looking it up right now, because you were like, yeah, you know, only 80 yards rushing and all that. Had they had 60 yards passing, we should have went with the better number of it. Jaden Ball had 4 yards a carry, and Jackson had 6 yards a carry. The start of that third quarter, or the end of the third quarter, we started running the ball. I know it's a boring football, but that's what they should have done the whole game, because they weren't going to beat them with DJ Lagway throwing it.
But I just think it's misplaced, because part of the reason they were so bad on third down, they tried to run the ball first, maybe second down, and then they were put in positions where Lagway had to make a play on third, not necessarily long, but third and medium, third and seven, third and eight. So I just don't think they were as successful at running the football as you made it seem. Like what I was taking issue with was at the start of the show, you said they showed the recipe of how to beat the Canes, run down their throat. And I don't think that's true. I think the Hurricanes are as good as anybody up front on the defensive line.
12 for 50, 7 for 40 is what Ball and Jackson did. Like, that's it's way more successful than 12 for 23 for 61.
Oh, I'm not Yeah.
I'm not saying you can just run the ball down the Canes' throat because they are some big humans. Their linebackers look the part. Their D-line can play ball. I just think that Billy Napier did a terrible job of game planning, trying to have DJ Lagway drop back when Mezzador and Reuben Bain are going to ruin your tackles every single time you drop back. Like, I'd rather get 3-3-3 and have a 4th-and-1 than have sack incompletion. I'm not saying that, yeah, the code has been broken on the defense. I just don't think the game plan was very, very smart from Billy.
Couple of other notes from Jordan McPherson. The number 7, Miami held Florida to 1 touchdown on Saturday, a 7-yard rush by Jaden Baugh with 3:24 left in the third quarter. It's just the 5th time in the past 22 meetings between UM and UF that one team was held to 7 points or fewer.
Also, this is the Gators' a garbage report. Okay, I got you.
I'll give you another one. I'll give you one that's not that. 160. Carson Beck on Saturday completed just 17 of 30 passes for 160 yards, no touchdowns, and an interception. It tied for the fewest passing yards Beck has thrown for in a game since he started his collegiate career, excluding last year's SEC championship game, which he left with an injury. The lackluster effort was truly an off night. He wasn't pressured much. He had a clean pocket for 25 of his 31 dropbacks, but several of his throws were off target. There were 2 drops and 2 other passes were batted down. He went 0 for 6 on passes longer than 10 yards, and more than half his completions were behind the line of scrimmage.
Like I said earlier, now I'm about to bash the Gators. If it was dry, they could have won by 50. I think a lot of that passing game got held up by the downpour.
But the UF's defense, I saw a lot of people upset with the Hurricanes and their offensive production at times in the game. Man, UF had only given up 2 passing touchdowns all season. Like, they're a good defense. So I thought the Hurricanes' game plan was excellent. Play to your strengths. Carson Beck forced one. Don't do that again. They can't stop the run and just grind it out. And you saw, they executed that perfectly.
I'll tell you what it was. There was just a letdown from the opening drive to the rest. Yeah, because your entire game was just grind out a dub and we'll get out of here undefeated and look towards the FSU game. But we got spoiled by the open of the game. And then, so there was like that feeling of, oh, what's gone wrong here?
Right.
And, but that first drive was just like, I mean, just electric. I thought they were going to put up 45. I thought they were going to hang a 50 burger on them. And the Gators didn't know if they were coming or going.
Yeah. They could have. And, no pressure because Sapp is our guy. Sapp is, I don't even want to say he's our Reuben Bain because Reuben is a monster, but he's our guy. The Canes O line handled our monsters, our guys sapping them. They couldn't get to Carson.
All right, Channing Crowder and Hawk and Solana, we appreciate their perspective on the game, as well as Tobin and Leroy and Joe in Hollywood. All good points made during the across all 3 shows, so we appreciate that. The wet weather probably did play a little bit of a factor with Carson Beck. Maybe not. Gators, as I mentioned before, I think maybe they got into his head a little bit going back to a year ago when he tossed the 3 interceptions. In this game, only way Miami loses this game is if they turn the ball over. So they protected the ball for the most part, had the 1 interception. And Hawk is right. Canes got off to that quick start. It looked like, man, Miami's going to blow these guys out by a lot of points. Gators made it interesting, and then the Hurricanes suffocated them in the fourth quarter. Next up, the Florida State Seminoles will be on there at 3 o'clock on October the 4th for a 7:30 kickoff from Doak Campbell Stadium. We're back next week. Mario Cristobal rejoins the show on Tuesday. Thanks to Trevor Harris. I'm Joe Zagacki. You have a most pleasant good evening.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.